Episode 302 of the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast. It's Saturday night. I'm Ellie. He's Ben. Ben, what's going on? I heard you woke up at 5 a.m. this morning.
No, I did not. Although I did make a special point of listening to Wrestling POV last night. You guys made your new venture debut, so I wanted to make sure I supported that. I'm still part of the team, but I am no longer a mainstay on the main show. But I still wanted to make sure I supported you guys, and I had to see who was going to maintain control of the 5-second shuffle, and of course it was you. I'm sorry, Clay, but I am partial to Elio. I can't help it. I'm sorry. It's a shame Tony doesn't play. Or Tony doesn't play, because if he did, I would slide just his way. But because he controls the playlist, I can't really artfully insult him on this show, which disappoints me. But in all seriousness, good luck with this new venture of Wrestling POV. I'm sure you guys will do great. And I will always be here if you guys need me. So I'm very happy for you guys from that perspective.
Thank you.
But over on the PNC side of things, as Elio just said, in case you're deaf, I will repeat it. This is episode 302, and no, Elio, I did not get up at 5 o'clock in the morning because I am not a loser. And the other reason why I didn't get up at 5 a.m., which ultimately is because we're not the kind of podcast where we have to go live, because it's like we're not on YouTube, we don't have to do a reaction show or a watch along immediately, so we can do shows whenever we want to.
Here's what I did. I opened my eyes. I looked at the clock. The clock said 6:01 a.m. I'm like, well, good night. I'm going back to sleep.
let me ask you, what time did you actually wake up?
8:30. I always wake up at 8:30, because then I have breakfast and I take my pills and stuff at 9.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Yeah, we don't want you suffering any medical crisis. So please take your pills at the scheduled time.
Yes.
And I don't want to have to cancel this show as well. So that's very good. And
Do you set your alarm
to take your pills as well?
I know. Actually, I do, because sometimes I lose track. There are times I've lost track of time. Because I always take it at 9, but then I lose track of time. Like when we're on doing this show, I'll look over and it's after 9. So, yeah.
That's funny.
Man, I'm going to step away from the computer. Keep going.
Okay. And while he does that, I will get us started with the half section of the week in review, because we're still going to do that in addition to the Elimination Chamber. We still have to cover Dynamite and SmackDown. So I'll take Dynamite while Elio steps aside. High points for Dynamite, I would say the opening match for Blackpool Combat Club and FTR. This could be on the Big Business pay-per-view, and I wouldn't complain at all. I would much rather have this than the Blackpool Combat Club going against the CMLL guys because it makes more sense to me. The next high point I had was let's see, scrolling down, honestly, believe it or not, I'm going to give the main event with Samoa Joe. It was a 6-man tag with Hangman Page, RVD and Hook versus Swerve Strickland, Brian Cage, and Samoa Joe. I'm going to give that a high point. However, I must stress, it really has nothing to do with Hook. Because if I have to deal anymore, folks, with Hook's bat signal of sorts, I may just lose it. I know over on Wrestling POV we have Hook's bat signal on the it, or in the book, I should say. I almost said the list as if we're Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho over here, but we're not. But if I'm being honest, as a match, I would give it a high point. Now, low points, I would say, let me just scroll back up here. Why is my computer so slow, ladies and gentlemen? Scrolling back up. Here we go. I'm just making sure my computer being slow. Okay, so low points I had Orange Cassidy versus Mike Bennett. I just don't really get it. I mean I understand the whole thing with
It was just
undisputed.
terrible.
I mean, what a perfect re-entrance. Thank you so much because I'm just starting my low points, as you could hear, because I'm sure you still had your headset on. I understand what they're doing with the Undisputed Kingdom, but it's just awful. And this match just make it stop. And then the other low point was Deonna Purrazzo versus Madison Rayne, which we actually got a ref stoppage because
Yeah, well, when
because
Deonna Purrazzo delivered that move and the Wee Messerine fell in the back on her head.
yeah we well it was a flatliner and just the way that she landed looked absolutely nasty.
I had to rewind it to take a look. I'm like, oh, that was bad.
Now, a traditional flatliner, people aren't supposed to land on the back of their head, so I'm not really sure how that happened because with that move, you land directly on the front of your face, pretty much. So I'm not really sure how that happened, but I was happy to see that they stopped the match just to ensure her safety. But yeah, that was definitely a low point.
I'm sorry, before you go on, would you call Big Business it's a pay-per-view?
Yes, because
Really?
they
On a Wednesday?
well.
Let me check
If the,
March 13th.
I'm pretty sure it's gonna have to be. I was under the impression that it was. Let me look. I could be wrong. Maybe
No,
I'm just.
March 13th is a Wednesday. It's just a
Okay, well then.
regular episode of Dynamite.
Okay, well then my bad. I thought they would debut I thought they would debut Mercedes Moné on the pay-per-view. Oh my god. Like a regular wrestling company would. But no, they're just going to debut her on regular TV. I'm sorry. I legitimately thought that this big announcement of Tony Khan was a pay-per-view. Oh my god. This is how bad AEW has truly become.
Stop giving Dynamite name. Stop calling these shows specials and giving them names when they mean nothing and they're just a regular episode.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, I really. Now, granted, this one was my fault because I legitimately thought Big Business was a pay-per-view based on how it was announced.
It sounds like I tell it should be a pay-per-view.
And I just really don't understand why Mercedes is not debuting on a pay-per-view. That is just. That's already a swing and a miss for me. Tony Khan! Right? Not Tony Diaz, because as a booker, I'm sure Tony wouldn't book that shit that way. Tony, give your fellow Tony some booking lessons. You know, you say, what the fuck is wrong with Tony Khan's eyes? I got a new one for you. What the fuck is wrong with Tony Khan's booking? I know I won't be there to hear you say that live, but can we add that to the book, please? Please? Wait, I beg of you?
Wait, add what? Tony Khan's booking?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell them on Friday.
I beg of you. I just, you know, because especially after this episode of Dynamite, because, you know, Let me see if I have any more low points. First of all, I'm sure they're there. Let me just look. I went off on a rant on Tony Khan's booking. My apologies. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I have to say this, right? So Christian Cage and the family, I guess, they are on the mic, and I don't get it because you know he's cutting a promo with Daniel Garcia, and I get the whole daddy gimmick with Christian, but this whole thing with him going after everybody's dead relatives is really
I don't like it.
Because I gotta tell you, right? So if somebody went after my dead relative, I don't care if it was a wrestling thing, because I wouldn't ever clear that to begin with. But if somebody ever did do that, oh boy, we would have a significant problem, and we got it back. And I'm not saying this as an attack on Christian, because it's part of his character. Like, I get that, right? But it's just, do you have to do it constantly? Like that's your gimmick, is going after people's dead relatives. Like,
terrible.
Am I missing something here? And good God, can we get Sheena and Nick Wayne the fuck off TV? I'm sorry.
Hold on. Did I hear this right when Nick Wayne hit his move or his finisher? It's called the Wings World?
Yes, it is.
Well, putting on Garth, putting on Wayne. Gee, what? Stop it! Put your girl.
Okay, they kind of wasn't drinking anything just then. But I can guarantee you it's not a party at any point when Nick Wayne or his mother is on my screen. Let me just tell you that right now.
How dare you?
How dare I what?
Doesn't she begin her promo every promo like that? How dare you boo a mother?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, I tend to tune out Shayna Wayne's promos for my
Why, but
own health.
that one just stuck in my head. I'm like, that's the most annoying way to begin a every promo.
Yeah. So that's all I had for highs and lows for Dynamite. What did you have?
So for highs, basically I had that Blackpool Combat Club FTR match was my high point. And what else? And then really everything else like was low for me. Like I mean, wait, what was the main event again?
The main event was the six-man tag, Hangman Adam Page, RVD, and Hook, with the Hook bat signal versus Swerve, Brian Cage, and Samoa
Because
Joe.
everything else here was at low point, like including that one, and I'll tell you why that's a low point. That match,
Yeah.
Hook delivering a German suplex to Samoa Joe. What?
Yeah, I don't get that.
And Samoa Joe has to sell it. What? That's
Yeah,
your
there's
world
some.
champion, and he's taking a German suplex from Hook.
Yeah, there's something wrong with that picture.
And again, that Daniel Garcia promo. Like, I don't like what this character Christian is doing. Like he doesn't need to be going after everyone's dead relative every single time he's on the microphone.
Yeah.
Also, Deonna Purrazzo, Madison Rayne, and Toni Storm and Sydney Winnow. And I didn't even look that up because they had the nameplate on Dynamite when they introduced her.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So I'm like, okay, sure, whoever this is, if she's gonna get offense in on Toni Storm, okay. And of
And
course, Orange Cassidy, Mike Bennett is my last one.
yeah, the And the gimmick for Toni Storm is really getting on my goddamn nerves.
Yeah, now it's kind of like starting to run its course. Like it's ridiculous. When Deonna Purrazzo came out, Deonna Purrazzo's in color and Toni Storm's in black and white, and I get how they did that. They have like one side is camera and the other side is a black and white filter. But still, it's
Yeah.
like, come on, it's enough now.
Oh, and speaking of interesting, I saw a clip of Rampage. Guess who
Okay.
debuted on Rampage?
Ooh.
Page's brother, Zack Zodiac.
Oh, wait. I was reading about that that he's a part of the AEW roster. What's his name?
Zack Zodiac.
What the fuck? What
I
kind of name is that?
know it's like I had
Zodiac. Oh.
to yeah and now Harley Cameron has a crush on him because she was talking to Paige. She's like, good God, your entire family's so hot. I'm like, what?
Oh, my. What?
I'm come again, what?
And
Help.
sorry, I was just reading. You see, this is what I'm talking about. When what AEW does when they throw these guys out in front of a live audience with no explanation. Bryan Danielson versus Jun Akiyama. Do you know who Jun Akiyama is?
Well, only because, yes, but only because Eddie Kingston has mentioned him so much.
Okay,
But to your point, Nobody
Yes.
else is going to know who Jun
Right.
Akiyama is unless you watch
Stop
and New
it.
Japan.
They're doing it, and now apparently I was reading because I get notifications on my phone. I got one like I get YouTube notifications on my phone.
Right.
Mystico is going after MLW gold now. Wait, so I thought he was in AEW and or CMLL, and now he's in MLW.
I think he's in both. I don't know.
I'm confused by all of this.
Because I thought he's part of the AEW Invasion angle with CMLL, and I guess he can still appear with other companies as long as it's not WWE.
Oh my God. All right, sure, why not? Anyway, that's all I've got for AEW.
Can we be done with AEW now?
Yes, thank you.
What can
Okay, now on to
I say?
SmackDown.
Hey, yeah. What can I say except you're welcome?
Now, yes, thank you. Now, on to SmackDown. Here we go with SmackDown. Low point, Braun Breaker's debut. I mean, his opponent was Dante Chen. I thought I read Dante Chen. Is that right?
Yes, and for those
Why?
of you
When?
that
Why?
don't,
When was last time we saw this guy? Stop it.
I don't know. He was a jobber on NXT. He was a deep jobber Braun Breaker. Nobody's gonna know who he is unless you're forced to watch NXT like I was during my WPOV hosting or co-hosting
See,
duties. But
you don't have to watch NXT.
yes, admittedly, and I'll be honest with you. If the situation was different, I would still be on POV. We did not part under bad circumstances. It was just a matter where you guys got an opportunity and it turned out where it works better if you're a three-man show rather than a four. So that's the only reason. But we didn't part under bad circumstances at all. But yes, that's one benefit to me not being on the show. No offense to Clay or Tony, is that I don't have to watch NXT, and that makes me so goddamn motherfucking happy. I can't
I'll watch
Chris.
NXT. I don't mind.
It's like Christmas and Valentine's Day and fucking every happy day wrapped up in the one that I don't have to watch NXT.
I watch all the crap so Ben doesn't have to.
Exactly.
Okay, so hi. This was just a very weird show because you could tell it was recorded.
Well, and absolutely you could.
They want I gave it to Tiffany Stratton and Liv Morgan for a high point, Judgment Day and Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. I'm not gonna give say their stupid team name because it's just that I don't like their team name.
Well,
You can't.
it's really dumb.
Like, don't know. Like, you couldn't come up with a
But
better name.
at the very least, Pete Dunne is Pete Dunne and not Butch.
Yes,
So
that one I like.
if I have to deal with, the new catch, whatever the fuck it is, that's fine as long as I get Pete Dunne and not Butch.
Yes. I mean, so that's really all I have for SmackDown. The low point was the Braun Breaker, Dante Chen, and those were my high points. But also that they showed the video for Rags and Riches.
You know what? Okay, can we talk about that for one
Uh-oh.
second? Because those two guys in a tag team, okay, Ashanti the Adonis and Cedric Alexander,
For
If
both
they
from
hit.
ROH.
Exactly. Do your homework, people, if you don't know that. Do your research. Can I steal your line? Well, I just did. But I'm also gonna steal another line, okay? Because as happy as I am that those two guys are gonna get an opportunity. Now look,
Oh.
if they fuck this up again, because these two guys have been screwed time and time and time again. If this new tag team, what did you say their name was?
Rags and riches.
Which, oh my God, that sounds like they're being managed by Reggie. Holy fuck. Make it stop. That just sounds like an automatic fail.
That's a play on a song from the 50s.
Well, dude, I'm sorry. Do I look like I'm from the 50s? I'm 35 years
No,
old, not a fucking 70.
I'm saying I don't like it. It's a play on a song from the 50s. Stop it. For all you fans, look up Tony. Look up for all you fans, look up Tony Bennett, Rags to Riches. Thank you.
I know the song, and I know the artist, and no disrespect, but and this is gonna sound weird coming from me, but is that really gonna work for an African American tag team in
No.
2024?
No,
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I'm like,
honestly.
it's a play on that song title. I don't like it. Rags and Riches is it's a stupid name. Come up with something better. You know what?
And that's what
You
I'm
know what?
saying. It's like, what the fuck?
I have the perfect post for next week. Name this team because this is fucking
Exactly.
stupid. Give us a name. Give us a name. We want names. Give us a name. We want a name.
Give us a name. I'm literally pounding on the desk. Give us a name. Give us a name.
Seriously.
We're gonna start a riot in this bitch.
Hashtag Seinfeld, because that's where I pulled that line from. Give us a name. We want names.
Exactly. Or no soup for you motherfuckers.
There you go.
But yeah, man, I mean, look, I had the same shit for SmackDown. I mean, look, I understand why they handled the show the way that they did. And I'm not trying to skip over it, but it was the most phoned
Boring.
in, boring,
It was
bullshit
boring.
show I have ever seen in my entire life.
I feel like when the comp this company goes on their tours like Australia or France or whatever, usually their go home shows for these pay-per-views are when because
God
I know
awful.
they're pre-recorded, but they come that when we finally see them, they're just boring and not entertaining at all.
Well, the only match that I think came off as semi-decent was Liv Morgan and Tiffany Stratton. And speaking of Liv Morgan and Tiffany Stratton, we're gonna get more into them over on the Elimination Chamber review on the other side of the break. And once again, not to cut short the SmackDown section of the show, folks, but honestly, I can't add any more to what Elio said without sounding like I'm filling up airtime, because SmackDown was that useless. Seriously, the only reason they aired a SmackDown was because it's the longest running episodic television show. And they needed to run a show because they have sponsors and they have a network. Okay. Other than that, they didn't need to run a show this week. I mean, what's the point of doing a double taping? Because the crowd was dead and the show had no energy, no life whatsoever. So instead of me trying to come up with extra shit to say, we're gonna end the week in review right there. I know it was abbreviated, but we did the other stuff on the previous show, and we also skipped NXT on that as well because it sucked. So on the other side of the break, we'll be back with your full Elimination Chamber breakdown. Stay right there.
All right, we're back, and Ben, we'll get
Yes, sir.
into the main focus of tonight's episode. The preview that took place earlier this morning at 5 a.m. Eastern.
Which again, we did not watch live.
No, we did not. However, there was a story that broke when they were trying to ship the chamber over.
Yes, and I heard you telling Tony this for the first time on the show last night. So
But no,
why don't you t
he was telling us. But like I read it, but I didn't know I didn't think it was true. I'm like, wait, this can't be. Is this for real? This can't be.
Yep.
And I'm like, I wonder what a conversation like that would have been like. And I'm like, I've got it. A chamber or a structure is being shipped over. It's stopped by pirates. And all we hear is, "Arr, what do we have here, matey? I see a structure. It looks like a chamber. Arr." And, that gave me an idea for the title for the show. That gave me a title for the show. We're gonna call the show Shiver Me Chambers.
In all seriousness, there's a story going around. Actually, I think it was
It was Michael Cole that said that reported. But like I
as
said when like I said that when I read it, I thought this, I'm like this can't be real. Come on. What?
that was what my thought process was when I heard about it last night on the show. I was like,
No,
what?
Ben, I have a question.
Yeah.
Well, what would pirates want with a chamber?
I don't know, but especially, but you gotta think like what the hell would they do with it? Because
Right?
it's 10 tons and 2 miles of steel chain. What are they gonna use
Like
it for?
I don't understand like what could he possibly want to be what could he possibly want with a 10-ton structure?
I don't know,
It makes no sense. But like oh
some
like
sort of torture device, I don't know.
I saw all these gunships going around like when this was reported, people
Yeah.
commenting were posting like gifs of Jack Sparrow and all that. I'm like, okay.
That's absolutely hilarious. I'm sorry. That's absolutely hilarious.
But let's get into this Elimination Chamber,
Absolutely.
and we're gonna start with the did you see the kickoff
Yes.
show?
Believe it or not, I actually did.
Okay. I mean,
And
I
I
did as
don't.
well because there was one match on it, so I figured why not.
Yeah, and the only reason I did was because you were messaging me about needing a pick for the kickoff show, so I'm like,
Yeah.
okay, I might as well watch it. So we started off the show with the Kabuki Warriors versus Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae for the women's tag team titles. Now, if I told you that I gave a single solitary fuck about the women's tag titles, I would be lying to every single one of you that's ever listened to this show. Okay, now that's nothing against any woman that has competed for those titles or has ever wrestled in the company, but I don't give a fuck about these championships because of the way that they have been handled since their inception. And the other thing too, and a lot of matches on this card fell victim to this. Now, luckily, I don't think it impacted the quality of the matches too much in the case of this Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, but a lot of the outcomes for me were very, very predictable. As a matter of fact,
Sorry, Ben. Because we were talking about this. I forget who it was. I was asking about the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships. I had completely forgotten about this. This is how much we care about these championships, that they were unified with the regular Women's Tag Team Championships, which is the Kabuki Warriors.
I didn't even realize until you said something that the NXT tag titles were unified with the main roster ones. I didn't know that. I just learned something new right here live on the show. That tells you
There you go.
how much investment that the company puts in the women's tag team titles. There you go.
I could agree.
But let's talk about the positives of the match, first and foremost. I was happy to see Indy Hartwell getting some shine in her home country. That was very, very cool. I've never really been the biggest fan of Indy Hartwell. However, I have to admit that she has improved and she started to grow on me. And I've always been a fan of Candice LeRae. And I think Candice LeRae in particular has been criminally underused by WWE. As I said, is the case with a lot of these matches on this particular card. There was just no chance that the Kabuki Warriors were going to lose this match, considering everything that they have going on with the folding of Damage Control and everything that they have going on with Bayley leading up to WrestleMania and her match with Kairi Sane. Or no, not Kairi Sane, I'm sorry. Io Sky. I'm sorry, I misspoke. By the way, after we get through with the card for Elimination Chamber, we actually have a lot of stuff set up, seemingly official now for WrestleMania, so we'll go over that as well. But for what it was, I actually quite enjoyed this match, and I thought it was very well done. I thought this match served its purpose quite well, and I thought all four ladies did a very nice job. I was surprised that the Kabuki Warriors were relegated to the pre-show, just because of the magnitude of what they're involved in at WrestleMania.
Now,
And
would
the
you have put
matches,
them up? I would have put them on the main show.
I would have too. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't have even had a pre-show.
That's why
I would have just.
I was just about to say that the next this pay-per-view didn't even need a kickoff show.
Yeah, because. Now granted, the actual match was only like 8 minutes and 55 seconds, but with the pre-show and all the stuff that surrounds it, it just adds so much extra time to the thing.
Well,
And with
I have a question. Was there a press conference after?
I don't know. I know there was a presser beforehand.
Yeah, because I was wondering, like,
But let me.
is that the one that they had instead of doing it after their pay-per-view?
Let me look that up. But
Yeah.
actually, the funniest thing that happened during this match was actually at the very beginning. Corey Graves gave a Gorilla Monsoon shout out and said, "It's a happening."
I caught that one. Is that happening?
So I absolutely laughed my ass off. I thought that was hilarious.
See, Corey Graham knows his shit.
Yes,
That
and I
that's why he would do well in Elio Canella University.
exactly. I think he would do very well. So I got the biggest kick out of that. Let's see. No, the only press conference I see was the one from yesterday. So I think
Okay, all
that's the
right.
only one that they did.
Okay, so I
Unless
was
I'm
like,
very
yeah.
much mistaken.
No, I was gonna say if they had one yesterday and then they have one after the pay-per-view, I'm like, why would they have so many press conferences? But yeah, okay. No, I guess that's good then. They had it yesterday.
So that takes us to the first official match, which was the women's Elimination Chamber match. So I like how they structured this show with the two Elimination Chamber matches bookending the show. I like that setup. And the first match we had was the women's Elimination Chamber, which in my book was vastly better than the men's, and
This
I
was a
do
fun
mean there was
match.
a very steep gap between the quality of the women's match and the men's match.
This was
And I
fun.
think, yeah, very much so. And so the winner of this match would either get Rhea Ripley or Nia Jax at WrestleMania. Egads, Elio, do you think Rhea Ripley has a chance in hell of winning in her home country when she's main eventing the show? Oh my God.
Oh, why would they want to do that, right?
Just, I've never encountered such a difficult booking decision in my life.
Right?
But in all seriousness, this was a great chamber match from really beginning to end. So it was started out with Becky Lynch and Naomi.
And I'll be back shortly.
Becky Lynch and Naomi started the card, and then, or I'm sorry, started the match, and then, of course, after 5 minute intervals, each other entrant would come in until the chamber pods were empty, and then it was the last woman standing. So we pretty much get a stalemate for the first 5 minutes, and then shit really gets quite interesting once Tiffany Stratton comes into the match. For my money, ladies and gentlemen, Tiffany Stratton was the VIP of this match, even though she was eliminated surprisingly early in the match, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But yeah, she was, for me, she had her breakout moment in the cell during this match, because this was fantastic. She took so much punishment
You mean the
throughout.
MVP?
What did I say?
VIP.
Same thing.
Although she's both.
Well, she can be my VIP MVP. She can do whatever the fuck
There we
she wants.
go.
So
Hey,
I don't care.
she's part of Team Yummy. So that's it. It's okay. She can be whatever. Go ahead.
Exactly. Thank you very much. She took so much punishment during this match. Like, this woman is certified badass.
See that dive she did? See that dive she did off the pod?
I mean, she was doing dives off the pod,
Jeez.
into the pile. She took the vicious swinging head bumps into the cell, where
God.
she was just ragdolled, I think, by Becky Lynch, if I'm not mistaken. And then or no, I think actually I take that back. I think she was ragdolled by Raquel Rodriguez.
Okay,
I
yeah,
could be.
Raquel. No, Raquel was doing a lot in there.
Yeah, and and I actually felt bad for Raquel because she has this condition that she's dealing with, which made her
Yeah,
look.
I heard about that one. Is it?
I
What?
can look. I can look it up, but she looked very different, and her face looked very. You can just tell that she's been going through a very hard time. But most importantly, shout out to her for number one showing up, and number two, putting in a really a hell of a performance in the chamber. Let me look up what she has been dealing with. And by no means are we making fun of her appearance. I just
No,
noticed that.
I'm looking at it right now. MCAS.
Here I have the thing right here. It is mast cell activation syndrome. And she released a statement about her appearance, her facial appearance, after the show. And once again, we're not making fun of it. It's just something that we noticed. And once again, shout out to her for being such a badass in this match. She did really did a really good job. So she said,
Even
for
her
this,
live.
yes, like a Tiffany Stratton and Liv Morgan are my picks for MVPs of the match, but Raquel Rodriguez also did a hell of a job. So she said the following, and I quote, this is Raquel Rodriguez. She said, if you had told me on the long flight to Perth, Australia for the first time it was going to blow my face up and turn me the same color as my pink satin pillowcase, might have been the makeup on Monday too, I would have still jumped on that flight. Maybe my trip didn't go as planned, but I'm still learning this new body of mine. A big part of being a female wrestler for WWE is getting to sit in a makeup chair with our amazing makeup team, who I love so much, and getting to get dolled up. It's a part of being a girl. It's a part of feeling fully the part. At the end of the night, I'm proud I went out there Alicia Keys style. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm listening. Go on.
Oh, and she actually went on to say more. She said, even if this trip didn't go as planned, I am still grateful that I was blessed to be in Elimination Chamber in Perth, Australia, with five other talented women, and I got to hug a koala bear, so it was a win for me. Honestly, if this is Ben speaking, if I got to hug a koala bear, I'd be pretty pumped up too. And she also says, thank you so much to the lovely Vanessa of Lymphatic Massage Perth, for seeing me at the last minute three times to help me feel my best for the chamber. Thank you to Westside Wildlife for the hugs and animal love. A big thank you to the entire WWE medical team. and so much love to my family and friends for the late and early phone calls, prayers, and constantly checking on me on to a long flight home. Yeah, once again, shout out to Raquel, because she not only did she show up, but she had a very, very good performance.
But I was gonna say, but like her and Liv even going, like they did well, yeah. Like, 'cause remember they were tag team
Yes,
champions.
absolutely. And commentary did a very good job of highlighting that during the match as well.
Now, Ben, sorry, before we go on, I'm looking at when they were talking about Bronson Reed. And then the original plans, did you hear about Bronson Reed's original plans?
Yes, I did. So the original plan was that he would, because a lot of people were asking why Bronson Reed wasn't on the show, myself included. And it turns out that he was originally scheduled to face Seth Rollins in a World Heavyweight title match at this show. And he did not because, one, because Seth got hurt and wasn't medically cleared. Even though he did announce during the Grayson Waller effect that he would be cleared shortly so that he would wrestle at WrestleMania. But in terms of Bronson Reed, he also did not appear because it turned out that his wife was giving birth to their child.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yes, and that's a very good reason to not show up to work.
So yeah, so it all worked out then for him.
Absolutely. And Bronson, you absolutely get a pass on not showing up. And congratulations to you, brother. That's awesome. And family always comes first, and everything else is secondary in my book. So I don't care about wrestling at all in the least when it comes to family stuff like that. First and foremost, congratulations to you, and we certainly hope the baby and the missus are doing quite well. Getting back to the women's chamber, I had the first part of the match was pretty boring. With Naomi and Becky, but it really picked up once Morgan got in the ring, or once Stratton got in the ring. Like I said, to me, she had the breakout performance. Her and Morgan, in my opinion, really had the breakout performances. Stratton was really taking the lion's share of the damage. She got run, head first into the pod several times. She got, swung head first into the chain, several times. She did the dive off the top of the pod. Obviously people were there to catch her because she's not a fucking human lawn dart like Rey Mysterio. But yeah, she had a great showing, and I was actually quite surprised that she was the second person eliminated after she eliminated Naomi to secure the first elimination. But the best sign for her, and I think that this was fantastic for her, was that Australia was so impressed with her performance. They booed very, very loudly when she was eliminated so early in the match. They were not happy, which I think bodes very well for Tiffany Stratton. And with her only being 24, folks, I don't mean to minimize her accomplishments thus far, but with her only being 24 and already accomplishing what she has, and improving as much as she has from when she first stepped in the ring, can you imagine how much better she's going to be in the years to come? I mean, WWE could have really hit the jackpot with her based on what we saw in the Elimination Chamber in Australia today. Yeah, I mean, in my book, this was Tiffany's holy shit moment. Now, as far as the rest of the match, let's see. So after that, we had Belair, Morgan, and Lynch left in the ring, and we had Belair delivering some offense for a while. After that, we had a double handspring moonsault which hit Morgan and Lynch for two before they all head to the outside of the ring. I didn't really understand all the outside of the ring stuff. I mean, I get that it's the Elimination Chamber, don't get me wrong, but the ref was making it very obvious, as was the commentary team, that all pins had to take place in the ring, and
It's
not to mention,
not a false count anywhere Elimination Chamber match.
well, yes, and not to mention, I mean, Tiffany had gotten her arm stuck in a chain courtesy of a
Oh,
disarmer
and Becky was trying to do the disarmer, yeah.
earlier in the match. I mean, and Naomi executed like a split dive on Becky early in the match, I think.
Yep.
So it's not a good idea to go out to the outside in a Elimination Chamber match. You would think from a psychology perspective, at least they would try to make it look like the wrestlers were trying to avoid that, but not really. So maybe that was one knock on the chamber overall this evening, or this morning, I should say. Then we have Lynch getting for the next big spot. She got launched face first into a pod. Morgan got swung into the cage right before that, and then we get the big finishing sequence with Lynch getting her knees up to block Belair's 450. Morgan had a very nice counter to the KI, to the kiss of death. Then had a code breaker on Becky. So Liv Morgan rolled up Belair, and then walked right into the manhandle slam to secure Lynch's spot at WrestleMania. And overall, the match lasted 32 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yep, fun match.
So the overall pacing of this match was much, much better than the men's, and was definitely, in my book, one of the standout matches of the evening. But as was the second match of the evening, actually, because as much as I hate the name of the new Catch Republic for Tyler Bate and
And Pete
Pete
Dunne.
Dunne, thank God, yay, Pete Dunne is back and Butch is dead, yay.
That just sounds so weird.
Exactly, doesn't it? It's wonderful. They really had a fantastic showing against Judgment Day. I was really surprised. I wasn't expecting to enjoy that match nearly as much as I did because to me it was a dead giveaway that Judgment Day was winning this match.
Yeah, I went into this match not looking that forward to this one, but it wasn't bad.
But to me, it ended up being a very pleasant surprise. Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne really showed that they do belong on big stages like that. They really pulled their weight with Judgment Day, and
And go on,
showed that.
Dominic on the outside with all the stuff he was doing.
Yeah, that was absolutely hilarious. And Perth booing him so loudly and call and
Yep.
saying Dom's a winker. I absolutely loved the energy that the Perth crowd was putting into
Yeah.
booing Dominic. Because from the jump, Dom had grabbed the mic from Mike Rump to introduce Balor and Priest, and he couldn't even get the introduction out before just getting booed out of the stadium by the crowd. So that was a really nice touch throughout the entire match with Dominic's interactions with the crowd before eventually getting thrown out by the ref because Tyler Bate called out all of Don's bullshit to the ref.
Right.
One of the real standout moments of the match for me was Tyler Bate executing a very long airplane spin on Damian Priest.
Yes, I was like, what?
Ladies and gentlemen, not that this is breaking news or anything, but Damian Priest is a very large man.
Yep.
And Tyler Bate is not.
And let me tell you, the airplane spin is not a move that we see every day here, like in 2024. That's like a
Yeah.
move that's a movie you would've seen more in the 80s and 90s.
Absolutely. Absolutely agreed. So that for that to be a highlight of the match should really tell you something. And for me, while the result was never in question, they did a really good job of making this match entertaining, and that was another high point to really get this show going on in a positive direction. So I think that takes us to the end of the review for that match, unless Elio has any final comments.
No, I'm good. This turned out to be a good match. I went into this not really like looking for because we knew that Judgment Day wasn't gonna lose, but it was just fun.
Very cool. I agree, and because we are running inside of 6 minutes before we get kicked out of the Zoom room, we will hold off on the rest of the review until we get back. But stay right there because up next we have the rest of the Elimination Chamber 2024 review and so much more. Stay right there.
All right, and we're back, and we're gonna continue our review of the Elimination Chamber. Ben, what match we have next?
So there's actually a segment, but we're not going to cover the segment
Oh, I know
because
so many times that was boring.
the Grayson Waller effect almost put me to sleep. Here's what
It
you need to
was
know.
boring. If we're doing a high point, low point, that was my low point.
Well, yes, and actually, I had two low points, but this was my first one.
They flew Austin Theory all the way to Australia just to get curb stomped.
Well, he's Grayson Waller. I mean, yeah. Well, I hope Austin Theory turns face and just obliterates this motherfucker.
No, that's what I'm saying. They flew Austin Theory down there just to get curb stomped. That's it. Yeah. All right. Sure. Why not? Go ahead.
Yeah. So, okay. All right. So hold up a second. Right. So I gotta say, we've been seeing Shoeys a lot for this Australian thing. They've been in Australia this entire week for this. And we saw Rhea do one, we saw Grayson do one with her. Well, Grayson did one again, this time with a UFC fighter.
I know that drink.
And
I never understood that. I don't get that.
it's well, I never did it. I never did it. I will never do it because it's disgusting. You understand how disgusting a pair of shoes are?
Yes.
Unless they're brand new and nobody's ever worn them, in which case, why would you ruin them by pouring liquid into them?
Right. Jeez.
You know, but it's just like you're drinking out of a fucking shoe, you disgusting bastard, and
Sorry, I know, right? Then come on.
this is a quote unquote fun tradition, I suppose, in Australia. A shoey?
That's
No, thank you, you
stupid.
bitch. I don't have a foot fetish, okay?
Nice.
I find feet disgusting. You know, just a little nugget about me, since we're talking about chicken nuggets a lot this week. But yeah, the only thing you need to know about this segment is that Tony now has The Rock to figure it out because it was a stipulation in the men's Elimination Chamber match, which we're about to go over. Seth Rollins is days away from being cleared to compete at WrestleMania. No shit. We already knew that because
Right.
it was announced that before this event took place that the men's Elimination Chamber match was for the number one contendership for Seth Rollins' championship at WrestleMania. So really, what was the point of this
Have no idea.
tomorrow fact? Can you tell me what it is?
I have no idea.
I don't either. And I consider myself a smart boy. Okay, I'm a smart man. I'm good looking. And I don't drink out of shoes. Okay. I have a leg up on a lot of these people. All right,
Yep.
can chili's not be a thing anymore,
Me to
please?
say this. That alone makes us better than them. We don't drink out of shoes.
The best thing Australia did during this pay-per-view was what they did for Rhea Ripley, and that was awesome. But nonetheless, God damn, they're disgusting. Who drinks out of shoes? Get the fuck out of here. Anywho, and apparently pirates don't think too highly out of them because they try to steal their shit. So they
Right.
can't even have pay-per-views in Australia. So Australia is behind the eight ball, but nonetheless. So let's get into the men's chamber.
Hold on.
So,
Sorry there, matey. Go on.
oh, jeez. Here we go.
Okay, go on, sorry.
Okay. Are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay, very good. Okay, so just as a reminder, right? The participants are Logan Paul, Drew McIntyre, LA Knight, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, and who was the other one? Bobby
Bobby
Lashley.
Lashley.
Yes. Okay. So the first two out are Drew McIntyre and LA Knight. Okay. And once again, there are 5-minute intervals between each pod opening. Once all the pods open, you know, it's an elimination match. Well, if you in case you haven't been paying attention for this entire fucking show, wake up, motherfuckers. It's not 5 o'clock anymore. Bitch. Anywho. This match, I have to tell you, one thing that I didn't like about it was the pacing. The match started out so fucking slow, my God.
I know.
Dude.
It was like, it felt, it didn't feel like it was dragging on.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yeah.
okay, so it's not just me because it's like I'm sitting there watching this and it felt like it was going on forever. It felt like it was going in slow motion.
Yes, and so for the first 5 minutes, it really looked like McIntyre was taking control, with the brief exception of LA Knight getting his boot up when McIntyre was gonna run into the corner, right? So McIntyre loads up a GPS, or a GTS, GPS, good God. I want a GPS out of Australia. GTS to take a shot at CM Punk. And then of course that gets reversed into a sunset flip backbreaker. That was a nice spot. And then, of course, he gets rammed into the pod by LA Knight several times. Yeah. So then we have issues. I'm assuming because the crowd was chanting some things that WWE didn't want on the air, because we had the audio go out and the screen went black.
Oh, I was wondering because I know at a certain point the audio cut out and the screen went black. I was wondering what that was about.
Yeah, well, it did that for me too. So apparently that was a network thing.
Okay.
And so we get so eventually, who came in at number three? This is skipping some
Well,
shit.
get that for
Oh,
you. It was number three was
Kevin Owens,
Kevin
yes.
Owens, yeah.
So Kevin Owens hit a choke slam, which, if I'm reading this correctly, was apparently a request of a Make-A-Wish kid. So if he did that for a Make-A-Wish kid, that's wonderful. I can
That's
respect
cool.
that.
That's cool.
So Owens, as you would see as the match would progress, he was solo focused on Logan Paul,
Yeah.
which I actually thought, going into this match, that they were going to set up Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens rematch for WrestleMania. As we would see coming out of this match, that would not be the case, but we'll get into that as the match progresses.
AJ Styles even got involved.
Yes, which we'll get into, because as I said, as a result of this evening, we have a lot of WrestleMania presumably laid out. I mean, we got a lot of progression. See, there's a reason why we named this podcast
There you
PNC
go.
Progression, because
Hey. Yeah,
this is what we enjoy: progression and reasons for matches taking place that make fucking sense. Vince, you should have known this rather than dicking around doing whatever, you stupid motherfucker.
hold on. I'm gonna be right back.
Okay. So yes, once Owens gets in, he immediately choke slams McIntyre, I think. And then McIntyre counters by going up top, and it goes as badly for him as it does for anyone that's not named Kevin Owens, because once again, that was countered, and he gets suplexed off the top. So, LA Knight did not have a very good showing in this match, I thought, because he was taking a lot of the offense. And And so was Randy Orton, for that matter. But as we figured out, that was for a reason, which we'll get into later on. But early on, LA Knight was really taking a lot of beating, and that's what led to Bobby Lashley coming in at number four, and he goes immediately after Drew McIntyre, which included ramming him into the cage and a suplex on the cage floor. Now, keep in mind, that's not as devastating as a suplex in the original Elimination Chamber, which was not covered by mats. The original Elimination Chamber was chained on the floor and on the walls. So if you took a superplex into the chain, that would have severely fucked up your evening. But I think this one was slightly safer. The next big spot was Lashley's spine buster getting a two count. And then Randy Orton immediately comes in at number five to drop Owens with the power slam. Now, I legitimately couldn't tell if Randy got hurt here or if he was just doing some fantastic award-winning acting throughout his entire match, because when he hit that first rope-hanging DDT, it looked like he seriously hurt his back. That would become a theme throughout the match, because every time he would try to hit a move, he would immediately grasp his back and then charge up with adrenaline, and then the pattern would repeat itself. The first elimination took place when McIntyre hit a Claymore on Bobby Lashley at the 21.5 minute mark. 21 minutes for one elimination, that's a little much, folks. That's how slow
That's
this
an
match is
awful
going.
long. That's an awful long time for first elimination.
That's why I'm kind of skipping over aspects of this match, because if I went over the move by move, we would be here at 12 o'clock, and I don't want to do that. It's 10:32 already. No.
Because look, in the women's, the first match took place at 13 minutes. Second at 22, third at 25, fourth at 32, 10, and the fifth at 32:16.
Very good. 21:28 for the first elimination. My God. Holy shit.
God.
And then we very quickly get another elimination, because AJ Styles breaks into the cell somehow. I'm not sure how that happened. I thought the Elimination Chamber was designed to keep people out. I guess not. It's starting to lose its mystique, much like the Hell in a Cell, right? Doesn't really do its job at keeping people out.
So I have to ask you, what do you think about this new AJ Styles character they're going with?
I like it and I don't. And what I mean by that is, I don't mind a heel AJ Styles.
He sounds kind of like a crybaby type heel this
But
time.
I mean, and he looks like a soccer mom on top of that, so I kind of laugh and I can't take it seriously. If he had a different haircut and could actually
Right.
cut it. And the one knock that I've always had on AJ Styles, and don't get me wrong, he is one of the best in the ring, and if anyone says differently, they're fucking out of their mind. Because I mean, I've watched him from way back in TNA. I used to watch TNA a lot from like 2006 to 2014.
Yep.
Believe me, I know AJ Styles. Okay, I did not just discover AJ Styles when he debuted in the Royal Rumble, you fucking nerds. No.
Right.
Jesus Christ. Stop it. Stop it.
Don't do
Okay?
that.
You'll embarrass yourself. Now, but having said that, there are drawbacks, and the one is that he can't cut a promo. I'm sorry, he can't. It's painful. But he wasn't cutting a promo in this situation. He was beating the shit out of LA Knight with a steel chair.
Yeah. Damn.
I mean, they don't do headshots anymore, folks, but the way he was wrapping that chair around LA Knight's back, I'm pretty sure LA Knight is gonna need to see a chiropractor when he
Right.
gets back to the States. Holy fuck.
Now you just see people be like, oh my god, my shoulders don't hurt. Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. And you dumb motherfuckers. Why don't you come to one of my elite shows, for the company that I run with, and tell me what they do doesn't hurt you, dumb. I hate people.
Right.
Oh, speaking of people, did you see Austin Theory own that reporter that called wrestling fake a few days before the Elimination Chamber? Whoever that reporter is, if that wasn't a skit, fuck you.
Wait, well, that wasn't on this. This that was like another time they were on show, wasn't it? Or was it this time?
No, it was this time.
Because I think LA Knight and Austin Theory were on that show, right?
Well, they were on this show too. No, it was this time.
No, I know. I'm
It
saying Austin Theory and LA Knight were on the show, right? With that reporter, right?
No, they weren't on a show. They were like being interviewed in like an airport or something.
Oh, in an airport. Okay. No,
It
because I
looked
saw
like
another.
it, but
I saw another video where Grayson Waller and Austin and LA Knight were on a show, and a reporter was basically the same thing.
so yeah, but yeah, don't call wrestling fake, especially. Don't go to one of mine because the guys that will show up to kick your ass, yeah, you don't want to fuck with these individuals. And by the way, don't fuck with me in front of these individuals because they'll kick your ass too. Okay? I got friends in high places, motherfuckers. Don't fuck with wrestling in general. Okay? Do yourself a
Right, seriously.
favor. Now, getting back to the eliminations after LA Knight was visited by AJ Styles. So Owens hits a swanton on Orton, but then McIntyre blocks another one and goes for a claymore that gets blocked into a pop-up powerbomb, which leads to a stunner to an incoming Paul. This whole sequence leads to a reverse stunner into the RKO to get rid of Owens, courtesy of Randy Orton, at 28 minutes. And then we have McIntyre and Orton going at it with Paul down. And eventually Paul decides to pose with brass knuckles after getting the advantage on Orton, doing the with the fist 3 times, looking like an episode of Jersey Shore.
Oh,
And
God.
the dumb motherfucker gets an RKO for his troubles by Logan, or so we thought. But Logan gets eliminated at the 32-minute mark, just before the 32-40 mark. So the final two in the match are Orton and McIntyre. So it was pretty obvious that McIntyre was going to take the victory, but just to be sure, Paul comes back in and hits Orton with the brass knuckles to make sure that the McIntyre secures the victory. So, was it a good match? Sure. I would give it a 3 stars, but no higher than that, because really this was entirely too long. And I think it was
Yep.
really hampered by the fact that it took 21 minutes to get an elimination.
So
I mean,
this match was 36:55, where the
exactly.
women's was 32:15.
Well, and I'll tell you, the men's felt much longer
Yeah.
than just a 4 minute difference, I can tell you that.
Yep.
And I'm gonna sound like a little complainy pants, because I would give the men's elimination chamber match a low point. And hear me out, folks, because what I'm about to say next,
Is this the other
you're
one you had?
yeah.
You said you had two low points.
Well, I really have three, if I'm being honest with you. As a match, the men's elimination chamber was one of my low points, the second one. Okay.
Okay.
The first one was the Grayson Waller effect.
Yep.
And the third one was Rhea Ripley and Nia Jax. Now, hold on, because I loved the moment that Rhea Ripley got. I loved seeing her emotion when she made her entrance, and the emotion that she had when she won the match after hitting the Riptide on Nia, and she went to sit with her family on the barricade for a minute. Apparently, she had even more family there. She had like 13 family members there, according to Michael Cole, which I think is fucking amazing. And I am so happy for her that she got that moment. There are a lot of people that work their asses off in this world that don't get moments like that on a massive scale in their home country, on a national stage like that, international. And that was just such a cool moment. I actually got teary-eyed at one point for her, and that doesn't happen. I don't get emotional with things. I'm not a sentimental person. But that was just a really cool moment. And I will give a shout out. That was one of Nia Jax's strongest matches that I've seen. Okay? And I understand completely why this match was the main event. They had to. It's Rhea Ripley in Australia. I would have done
Yep.
the same thing. You ask any of my promoter friends, they would have done the same thing. It was the right move. Nobody's saying it wasn't. But as a match in and of itself, taking all the emotional aspects out of it, right? It was disappointing.
Okay.
For a main event of a massive show, the wrestling involved in it was kind of disappointing.
Yep.
That's just because and once again, I give Nia Jax credit, right? You know how I feel about Nia Jax on this podcast, folks, if you've
Yep.
listened for any reasonable amount of time, okay? And even the fellas over on POV, they know, right? But her offense is so limited. It's just like, what the hell? So it's like, but my other question legitimately is, so we knew that the result was going to be this, because for the exact reasons that I just explained, how could it not be, right? But going into this match with Rhea, Nia has never been booked this strong in her entire career, And now here she is coming out of this loss for the championship. And my question is, where does she go from here? And I honestly don't know the answer. And I don't know if that's a good thing. Because whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, because I'm not a fan of Nia Jax, for as big as they've built her up since she came back, this is not a good look for her. I would not have had Nia Jax as Rhea Ripley's opponent here tonight. That's not what I would have done.
Who would you
I
have
not.
had?
I would have had somebody like a Shayna Baszler or a Zoe Stark. Shayna Baszler would have been my first pick. Because arguably she's one of the most dominant women's champions in history. She's the same level of badass. She's got a similar build, so I would have gone with Shayna Baszler. But overall, that's my review of Elimination Chamber. Elio, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I basically you covered it all. For me, this was a fun show. The first half was high, then they sort of went a little downhill. Toward, right when we had that ridiculous Grayson Waller effect segment.
Exactly.
That's when it went down. So it was a middle of the road show. It was but it was fun. First half fun, second half just okay.
Okay, fair enough. And do you want to take a break right here, or do you think we have time to get something else in?
I think we can get the tournament in before we head out to commercial because I do have the matches set up
Okay, very good.
for Block B. So Block A was won by British Bulldog versus Bret Hart from SummerSlam 92. So
Right.
the left brackets first match we have is the Shield versus Ryback and Team Hell No from TLC 2012.
Oh my God.
And Shane McMahon versus Lord Voldemort Sr. from WrestleMania 17.
I'm going to go with the first one simply because I can't have Lord Voldemort show up.
Exactly. All right, and then we have RVD versus Jeff Hardy from Invasion 2001, and Two Man Power Trip versus Chris Jericho and Lord Voldemort from Raw, May 21st, 2001. All
Invasion.
right. And then next we have Eddie Guerrero versus Edge from SmackDown, September 28th, 2002. And Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect from SummerSlam 91.
Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect.
All right. So we have that one. Okay, then we have Money in the Bank match from WrestleMania 21 and Hulk Hogan versus the Iron Sheik from Madison Square Garden, January 23rd, 84.
Money in the Bank for WrestleMania 21.
And you know what? Actually, when we come back, I'm gonna look up the card for that Hulkamania event. Just out of curiosity to see who else was on there. All right, then we have
Okay.
Steve Austin versus Dude Love from Over the Edge 98, and Paul Orndorff versus Hulk Hogan from The Big Event.
I'm gonna go. What was the first one again?
Steve Austin versus Dude Love from Over the Edge 98.
Steve Austin, Dude Love. There you go.
All right, and last match on this on the left brackets, Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 25, versus The Rock versus Hulk Hogan from WrestleMania 18.
Oh my God.
Right.
Seven goddamn hard. Why don't you? Jesus Christ. Oh my God. I actually have a dagger tattooed on my bicep. You want to rip that off my bicep and just implant that in my soul? Oh my God.
This. The randomizer did it.
I'm gonna go with Undertaker Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 25.
All right, so that's the left brackets. Okay, let's take a look at the clock. Yeah, we can get the right brackets in. All right, so on the first match, Undertaker versus Triple H, WrestleMania 28, Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar, SmackDown, September 18, 20, 2003.
The WrestleMania match.
Okay. Then we have The Rock versus Triple H, SummerSlam 98, and Dick Murdoch, Adrian Adonis versus the Briscoes, December 28th, 1984.
Admittedly, this is only because I have no idea about the other one. I'm gonna say The Rock versus Triple H,
Okay.
SummerSlam 98, because I have seen that match.
Then we have Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, WrestleMania 31, and Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, In Your House, Bad Blood.
In Your House, Bad Blood. WrestleMania 31 was awful.
All right. Then we
I'm
have
sorry, but it just was.
Tiger Mask versus Dynamite Kid, August 30th, 82, Triple H versus Steve Austin, No Way Out, 2001.
Only because I've only seen one of these, No Way Out 2001.
And then we have Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins from Hell in a Cell 2022, Goldberg versus Lesnar from WrestleMania 33.
Hell in a Cell 2022. Stay away from Goldberg versus Lesnar. Do not do that to yourself. Don't do
Please.
it. Stop.
All right, then we have our triple threat match.
Yes.
Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks versus Charlotte Flair from WrestleMania 32. Fabulous Moolah versus Wendi Richter from The Brawl to End It All. Stephanie McMahon versus Trish Stratus from No Way Out 2001.
WrestleMania triple threat match.
All right. So that sets up the next round, and we will get into that after we return from break. All right, we're back in. Ben, the matches are set up for the next round. So
Indeed.
let's see what we have here. All right, left brackets. We have The Shield versus Ryback and Team Hell No TLC 2012, and Rob Van Dam versus Jeff Hardy from Invasion 2001.
Invasion 2001. Come on now.
All right, yeah, Ryback. No one wants Ryback.
You mean cry back?
Right? He blocked me on TikTok. Because what's
Where is
that?
that?
A while back, because I posted that no one wants to see him back in the ring. No one cares, and he blocked me. Because anytime I see a video of his, I go to watch it and it says not available, video not available, which means he unblocked.
That's hilarious.
whatever shall I do? How can I ever go on with my life? Ryback blocked me. I have nothing now.
It's so
Right.
sad.
Next match, Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect from SummerSlam 91. The Money in the Bank match from WrestleMania 21.
I'm gonna say Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect.
Okay. All right. So that completes the first match. Next we have. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Hold on. We have to have a triple threat match because that's right. This is a triple threat match. Okay, so it's Bret Hart versus Mr. Fred from SummerSlam 91. Steve Austin versus Dude Love Over the Edge 90. Wait, hold on. No, sorry, I'm wrong. Okay, so okay, it's okay. So next match is Steve Austin versus Dude Love Over the Edge 98 or Undertaker Shawn Michaels versus WrestleMania 25.
WrestleMania 25.
Oh, wait, that's where I was getting confused because now we have the triple threat match. All right. All right, so moving on to the right brackets. We have Undertaker and Triple H WrestleMania 28, The Rock versus Triple H SummerSlam 98.
WrestleMania 28.
Okay. And then we have Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, In Your House, Bad Blood, or Triple H, Steve Austin, No Way Out 2001.
Shawn Michaels, Undertaker.
Okay. Did you watch that In Your House?
I have seen that match, yes.
No, I mean the pay-per-view itself.
I don't remember if I did or not. I've seen so many pay-per-views, I'm not sure.
I don't think, see, this is why this is good, timeline, Tuesday timeline, because we're getting to see pay-per-views I haven't even seen before.
Exactly. Very
All right.
good.
All right. So, oh, sorry, this one goes out. Okay. And here's a final match on the right, in the right bracket. Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins from Hell in a Cell 22, or Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair from WrestleMania 32.
I'm gonna say, just out of respect for the injury and what he was able to accomplish, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins.
All right, and we have our triple threat matches set up. So Ben, let's see where what we get for results we get here. Okay. Rob Van Dam, Jeff Hardy Invasion 2001 versus Bret Hart, Mr. SummerSlam 91, Undertaker versus Undertaker and Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 25.
Undertaker Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 25.
All right, so we eliminate these two, and then we have Undertaker Triple H WrestleMania 28 versus Shawn Michaels Undertaker In Your House Bad Blood versus Cody Rhodes Seth Rollins Hell in a Cell 2022.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm gonna say In Your House 98.
In Your House, you mean In Your House Bad Blood?
Yeah.
Okay, Shawn Michaels the Undertaker In Your House Bad Blood. Okay. All right, so here's your finals. We have Undertaker Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 25 or Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels from Bad Blood.
Undertaker Shawn Michaels 25.
All right, Undertaker
That
versus Shawn
match is
Michaels.
just fantastic.
Undertaker vs. Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 25 wins Block B.
Very good.
All right, and Block C will take place next on next week's episode. But for now, Ben, let me see if we get into some wrestling roulette.
Absolutely.
All right, now, we'll be back in a few seconds. I'm just gonna set this up. All right, time for wrestling roulette. I play 21 tracks. Ben has to guess which wrestler that theme belongs to, and we have the obstacles along the way. Which means what, Ben?
If a theme plays more than once, that's minus 1 point for my total score.
Well, you are correct. If a wrestler's theme shows up more than once, minus one for Ben. All right. So, better be ready for your first one.
Yes, sir. Boogs.
No, it is not. That is the Young Bucks.
Oh, well, I'm very proud of myself. I don't, you know, I consider that a win.
All right, here we're number two. Mikey the extra on this.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yes. What? How?
we've had that one before, and then
I remember that one. Okay, that's cool. All right. I love that theme, by the way. That's actually called Sirius by the Alan Parsons Project. All right, here we are.
Very good. I'm a psycho. Shati.
Shati, yes. All right.
The Oscar.
Yes. You are up to three. All right, number five. Here we go.
Viking Raiders.
Yes.
that was so well played. For those of you that don't know, because we're not a video podcast, so I don't blame you. LAO was lip syncing the whole thing, but his mannerisms were delightful. Christian.
Yes. All right.
Sid Vicious?
No, it is not. It's Psycho Sid.
You fucking bitch.
What?
Okay. I said Psycho Sid, you fucking bitch.
You said Sid Vicious. I heard you.
It's the same fucking thing.
I'm just messing with. I have to do that. Okay, go on.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley?
No, it's not. That is Claudio Castagnoli.
Okay, I wouldn't have got that one anyway. That's all right.
Neither would I have gotten that one.
I'm not sure.
That is King Woods.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right, number 10. Here we go. If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
The Rock.
The Rock.
no idea.
So what were you gonna say something before?
No, it just passed.
Oh no, I thought you were gonna say something before this one started playing.
No.
All right, so that is ROH Villains Enterprises.
I don't. Well, all I know is Marty's girl, and we don't talk about him anymore.
Right? Okay, next one.
The demon Finn Balor.
No, it's not. It just says Finn Balor. Okay, you're up to eight. All right, here we go. 13. What? Oh my God.
Jimmy Wang Yang, I don't
How? How?
know.
How? Okay, you're up to
All
nine. The hell?
I remember is redneck cowboy. That
I'm
sounded
scared right now that you actually know that.
redneck.
What? What? Okay, all right.
Can I confess something? I'm
Well,
scared too.
right, number 14, here we go.
Imperium.
Imperium.
Chris Jericho?
No, it's not. That is Stacy Keibler.
Oh, okay.
All right, 17. Here we go.
Tell you, DX is gonna kick your ass right now. Think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to
I love DX, but that is a terrible version of that. My God.
You know what? I'm gonna give it to you because you said DX. It says DX with Mike Tyson, which I don't think that sounds anything like Mike Tyson.
No, the guy singing it? No, that's Chris Warren.
Yeah. No, I'm saying I don't know why they have DX with Mike Tyson though.
Yeah.
This is called Fist. All right, 18. Here we go.
Are you ready?
Oh,
you
You
think you
son
can
of a
tell us what
bitch!
to do? You
Oh,
think you can tell us what to wear?
we know what happens now. That was DX as well. All right, Ben, you gotta get that point back. Number 19. Here we go.
You smell what the
cooking? You motherfuckers, I was doing quite well.
I know. DX in the box said, "Nope, we gotta stop him. He's doing way too well tonight."
Dude, love.
Dude, up. This is number 19, right?
No, that's that was I think that was number 20.
Well, let me check something here.
Yeah.
All right, number 21, Ben.
Arguably the best theme ever, the Four Horsemen.
The Four Horsemen. I love that theme.
I love
All
it.
right, last one. Here we go.
Fuck. Let's see. Hold on. Is that Io Sky?
No, that is Taya Valkyrie.
Oh, I would have never got that. I don't even care.
All right, so let's see what the next one would have been.
I honestly, I have no clue.
That is the Young Stallions. Crank It Up.
You know, I know the Young Stallions, but honestly, I don't remember that theme at all.
Yeah, they used to come out with that in the around 86, 87. So I was that's off of the second wrestling album, Power Driver.
Yeah,
All right, so
that's weird.
So your final score is 11.
You it should have been 13, you bitch.
I know DX and The Rock got in your way. They wouldn't let you. They wouldn't let you go.
I know.
Terrible. All right. So there's nothing else. Yes.
Well, actually, I remember we said we should go over the projected WrestleMania card now.
That's right. Yeah.
Let's see that. Let me pull that back up because for some reason it disappeared.
I'm just gonna put my phone on charge.
Let's see. Okay, so I got them.
Okay.
So as we said, a lot of matches have been seemingly confirmed after the events at the Elimination Chamber. We now know that we're getting Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. We know that we're getting Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight title.
Yes.
We know that we're getting LA Knight, AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we're getting Randy Orton versus Logan Paul.
Why?
which honestly, that one really surprises me because I could have sworn we were going to get Orton versus Solo Sikoa to round off his feud against the Bloodline, because those were the guys that took him out for 18 months to begin
right.
with.
So it's kind of weird. You put him with Logan Paul.
So. And then you know, who does Kevin Owens go against this year? That's
right?
Kind of weird. And then they've seemingly confirmed The Rock and Cody Rhodes for WrestleMania, which I think they should.
Okay.
I'd rather see that than The Rock versus Roman right now, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
Especially after the slap. I mean, logically, based on what we were talking about.
Wait, hold on. The Rock versus Cody Rhodes, that has to be either night one or night two.
Right. But I'm assuming it's going to be a night one situation, and then I don't like having the two matches, but I'm assuming that's where they're going with it.
Okay, all right.
So that's another two, and then the other one that I foresee, which wasn't necessarily teased at the show, but just has been seen on Raw and whatever, is Judgment Day versus Awesome Truth for the tag team titles, with Awesome Truth winning the titles.
Awesome Truth.
Yeah. The Miz and R-Truth.
No, I know who that is. I'm just saying, I thought it would have been DIY.
No, I think the feud's there with R-Truth because he was kicked out of
Oh, okay, all
Judgment
right.
Day.
Okay. No, because it was just weird because then they got their title match. I thought, like, maybe they'd get their rematch. So, okay, now that makes sense, though.
So,
with R-Truth, yeah.
So far it's shaping up to be a very good WrestleMania.
Do you see Damian Priest turning at WrestleMania?
I could, potentially. Plus, we have a potential cash-in with Rollins.
That's true.
So, you know, because the contract legitimately is running out. Because when did they have money in the bank? Wasn't that in July?
Neither will check that. Hold on. Me double check Money in the Bank 2023, right? Hold on.
Yeah.
You know what? Hold on. Google, when was Money in the Bank 2023?
Money in the Bank start date is July 1st, 2023.
Oh,
yeah, that was one in London.
Oh, okay, so yeah, so they really are running out of time. He would only have like less than 3 months after WrestleMania. So yeah, but so I would think that WrestleMania would be the time to do it, but logically I don't think they're going to, because Reigns versus, you know, Rollins versus the Bloodline is inherently a bigger story, especially if he's attached to Cody as he is, which was doubled down on with the Grayson Waller effect, which was a terrible segment, but you know, but we did see
hey,
that.
Hold on. We said, where's Kevin Owens go?
Yeah.
Owens and Austin Theory. I don't know.
Well, that's a good suggestion. That's a very good suggestion, because
with theory probably possibly turning face.
Yeah, because Theory has been with Logan Paul, so that's another very viable option.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast just booked WrestleMania 40 for your ass.
You're welcome.
What can we say? You're welcome.
Hashtag Moana.
Yes, exactly. And in all seriousness, that's one of the Rock's, like, only semi-recent movies that I actually like. A lot of his movies now are just like stupid.
Right, they are. They're bad. Especially, you know, Jumanji. Don't remake Jumanji. What are you doing?
Robin Williams was rolling in his grave. May his soul rest in peace. I'm not trying to make a joke, but God. Please tell me you've seen the original Jumanji, right?
Me?
Yeah.
Of course. I saw it, I didn't watch it when it came out, but I did watch it like a couple of months after in 95 when it came out.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, that movie is a classic. I didn't even bother to see the Rock version because, honestly, like, I like the Rock. Sure. But, you know, like I said, a lot of his movies nowadays, I mean, he made Dune for fuck's sake.
That's so bad. Oh my God. I didn't even watch it, but I don't think I want to.
Good Lord. I mean,
Stanley, you know, Kubrick.
It's horrible. So, with that unsettling thought in mind, It would appear that we booked a very, very solid WrestleMania 40, and we will keep you up to date as we continue down the road to WrestleMania 40.
Hold on, before we sign off, I have scores for you so far for the pay-per-views.
Oh, very cool.
So Ben is in first place with 14-1.
Hello.
Clay's in second with 13-2. Myself and Tony are in third and fourth with 12-3. So we're tied in third with 12-3.
So are the I still consider myself POV crew. Sorry, I always will. I'm sorry. This rule. So are we the only ones playing, or like? Cause...
Well, we're the only ones that I'm keeping track of scores, because everyone else that's playing on that league that to put their picks on the Facebook page are responsible for keeping track of their own scores.
Oh, okay.
I'm just keeping track of ours because it's like four.
Okay. Well, I win. and with that rather cheerful thought in mind, we'll sign off for episode 302, and we'll see you next week.
We'll be back on Tuesday. Although, first we'll be back on Tuesday with New Japan, the New Beginning in Sapporo, which took place February 23rd, and Royal Rumble 1990.
Absolutely.
So until then, he's Ben, I'm Elio. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Welcome to the greatest love you